Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylorford, joined by Josh Brown.
Good afternoon.
And Ben Roy Turner.
I'm so anticipated to play GTA 5 on PS5!
We thought we would do a bit of a roundup of the most anticipated games coming for the rest of the year, which might get upended with Sony's State of Play. Maybe Silent Hill's real. Maybe Hasan Karaman isn't real. Maybe he's an android. Maybe it's abandoned, isn't even the real thing at all. But we'll see what happens. We might do a proper video version going forward. But there's enough to talk about for now, including the likes of Halo, Metroid, Zelda, Sable, Horizon, and Back 4 Blood / Left 4 Dead. So we're just going to break some stuff down. I thought we'd open on Halo Infinite, because I feel like Halo's in this really precarious place, and looking at the actual numbers on the trailers and the gameplay footage and everything else for Halo Infinite, it feels like there's a little bit of a surge coming back for Halo. I feel like it was like past its, not necessarily past its prime, but it, Halo 4 was a bit of a divisive time. I've always been a fan of it. Halo 5 was a dark time, and I was kind of wondering where the IP is going to be going forward, but the reception to Infinite has been pretty stellar, and I kind of wonder whether that's because they got Joseph Staten back, the original writer from the first trilogy, or whether it is just literally what they've been showing, where it kind of feels like old school Halo again, where they're prioritizing multiplayer experimentation, the grappling hook and the different power-ups, and that whole idea of, like, you know, Halo combat being sort of combat chess, something that's kind of what Doom is, where you, it's all about specific placement and specific weapons and the way you move through the map. So what do you guys think of Halo Infinite? Has it grabbed you the same way, or are you kind of just waiting to see what it's like in the end?
As it grows and as it manifests, sorry, I just was thinking of Craig there, Josh, and I had to go. But since right, the Craig is- stuff, I sort of fell off it. I was like, oh, it's going to be bad again, isn't it? I was thinking about poor Halo and Gears having, and I guess Forza having to be the only games out last generation for Xbox. Now, like, it felt like we got the better years, and I just need this. I feel like a lot of people need this Halo, especially yes. People who work at Microsoft and 343 need this Halo to be another, like, Halo again, in the way it is. Like, it's so cliche to make this thing great again, make this Halo again, but at the same time, make Halo more Halo again, and, like, to the point where make it more of an environmental shooter rather than just running like a Call of Duty sort of style run and gun where nothing really matters and you can
aim down sights and everything.
Aim down sights, use the same sort of gun and run past things. And what we've seen even from like the CGI trailers with the way that they've used Master Chief to move around certain aspects of the environment. I'm stealing this from a Chris Reagan where it's like he will shove the aliens out of the way, but then when there's a dead soldier, he nicely moves him around and grabs the gun and stuff. And then just seeing the game, we're like using the grappling hook to grab stuff, using actual environmental, like the shields and all that again. And they sort of like, you can put them down, but they're going to screw you over as well at the same time. There's so much more to think about. And it just, for me, I'm picking up speed talking about this because I'm thinking of Halo and I want some Halo. And I feel like it's the past two just haven't done it for me. And I know 4 isn't that bad. And I mean, it's probably not bad. It's just not what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And 5 was a bit of a... so I don't know about what
like
you think.
It's like an uphill battle because I think that obviously all of us aged through the Halo trilogy. The end of Halo 3 was a big old deal. There is that secret ending where Chief is still floating around. And it was kind of, it was always going to be an uphill battle picking that up and running with it again, especially with the developer change. So I think that I never minded Halo 4. I always thought it was solid enough. But 5 was the one where it just felt like they discarded all the Cortana stuff and then they brought her back in at the end and then she's evil and we need to go and sort that stuff out. And it was like, what are you guys doing? There's no real through line. It just didn't feel right. And Halo 5's multiplayer having the card system and that sort of thing, all the battle requisition stuff, and it just felt a bit messy. I felt like they got too far away from what Halo kind of should be. Which, I mean, I know there's the iconic, I'm going to call it iconic, Kroby Cat video where he compares the developer diaries between Bungie 2343 and just how much more charming Bungie stuff comes off compared to 343. And obviously it's edited that way. But I feel like that became the mentality towards Halo. Josh, what do you think as another lifetime Halo fan, as someone who got on board with Halo 4 as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, what you said at the beginning about it seems like it's getting a resurgence now. And obviously it just got like the big re-unveiling last month or whatever. We got a better look at the multiplayer. We got a bigger look at the campaign through that cool cinematic. And I'm kind of like on board. I'm like back there with everyone else, I think. I'm enjoying this upswing because obviously when the Craig debacle came out last year, it just didn't look good. It didn't look like what I wanted a next-gen Halo to be. And hopefully with this extra year of time, with this extra year of development, with, like you said, the creative directors returning, people switching roles and stuff, a year is a long time and a lot can change. And I just hope that when we get to November or October, whenever it's going to drop, that they have, you know, something really great to show for it, because I want Halo to be a thing again. I want it to be like at the top of the shooter pile. And it's quite funny that this year in particular now has like a bunch of shooters coming out at the end of the year. You know, we've got Back for Blood, we've got Rainbow Six Quarantine, it's called now. We've got Battlefield, we've got COD, we've got Halo. There's a lot of shooters vying for your attention. And I hope Halo manages to come out with this, you know, renewed momentum and managed to kind of like steal the show, managed to blow us away, managed to reposition itself back on top.
Well, we're talking about it in a way that I guess we weren't going into Halo 5, because I mean, that was all hung on the whole Chief versus Spartan Locke thing, which didn't pan out whatsoever. I think it's really interesting what they're showing for the story, because obviously you get Joseph Staten back in, original trilogy writer, and I imagine he walks in and it's literally the Donald Glover meme where everything's just on fire and he's just sort of like, oh God, right, trim this, cut this, put this back in and remember how to write a Halo and stop making it all like sort of faux serious and kind of have more fun with it. Because the little trailer they put out, the story side of things alongside the multiplayer, the new gameplay, showed ostensibly the new VI, the new like Cortana replacement woman that's going to be in Chief's head. But immediately you had Chief talking way more to sort of like remind everybody what he sounds like. You've got the iconic look of him. It just looks great. I think it's really promising. Another thing that we can move on to, though, speaking of shooters, Josh, your first pick is Battlefield 2042.
Yes, I mean, I've just mentioned it there. Like, I've been a lifelong Battlefield fan, even more than Halo. Like, Halo, of course, was always in my life. But when I remember first discovering Battlefield and feeling like I'd had a moment, I remember the first moment I went up to a gate in Bad Company 1 and I slashed it with a knife and I could go through it. That blew my tiny, like a little mesh gate, you know, like you could in another game. Couldn't go through that. It's a barrier. Here, hit with a knife, breaks, walk through, get on a pipe, get behind someone, shoot them in the back. That has nothing to do with Battlefield 2042.
It was immersive. It was immersive. It was in there.
It was immersive. And, you know, I've been a huge fan of it for a long time. And I quite enjoyed Battlefield 5. I got a lot of crap. I still played it, but I didn't play it anywhere near as much as I played Battlefield 4 or Battlefield 1 even. It was definitely not necessarily a step down, but certainly a step sideways. It wasn't the next Battlefield, you know. 2042.
It felt like they were like ticking the box a little bit. Like, totally. It just felt it was like, here's another Battlefield. Just sort of, here you go. Like, I played it as well. Like, I couldn't care less about the controversy crap. I just sort of dove in. I was like, this is just more Battlefield. Like, it wasn't really...
That's it. That's the main issue, you know. The fact that at the time, EA was pretty much like, right, Battlefield is our IP. We're going to have one every single year, or, you know, as close to that as we can. They might not all be made by DICE. That's why we got Battlefield Hardline. That's why we got the quick follow-up to Battlefield 1 with Battlefield 5. And I think that kind of approach to production just didn't suit those games. So now we've had a few years off, and they're coming back with what they're touting as this proper next-gen experience. We've got bigger player counts. We've got bigger maps. We've got these cool weather effects that have been rolled in, this kind of you know, extreme weather situation that's going on, that's kind of jumping off the Levolution in Battlefield 4. And for me, that's exactly what I want. I like the modern day or near future stuff when it comes to this franchise. I like the focus on multiplayer. If it was any other franchise that cut out the campaign, I'd be pretty annoyed. But because it's Battlefield, I'm like, I've never loved a Battlefield campaign. Even the Bad Company ones, I never loved. I've always been there for the multiplayer. So if that means more resources on the multiplayer, I'm actually okay with that.
We should totally touch on that. The fact that they're absolutely still selling it for a premium price point, but you're quote unquote getting less. You're not getting the campaign. And it's not like Battlefield's known for its campaigns. Although, was it Battlefield 4 that started with the overturned car? And there was that like well-known, that was either 3 or 4. And there was like the overturned car, and it was very cinematic. And it was one of the first things they showed off at the beginning of the 8th gen. And it was just kind of like, it was actually more moody and memorable than you would expect from a Battlefield campaign. I think it was Battlefield 4. And I kind of wonder, you know, because the 2042 setting lets them do a lot of cool stuff. Like it's like you said, it's kind of realistic. It's kind of like relatable, but then they can do like, here's this cool, like, I don't know, vision mode, or here's these cool aerial helicopter variants or something else for the near future. So I'd kind of, I think it is a bit of a miss, but I guess, Benroy, what do you think of the price tag stuff? Are you bothered about Battlefield in the first place? And what do you think of their pricing strategy?
I'll start with some good. I'm here for them going a bit into the future and doing something a bit interesting. I think I would have liked them to lean a bit more into like the mech situation that we used to get. Mm. That, and I said this last time to Josh, and I forgot on video as well last time, the name of that last one where we had mechs and things like that on the PC. That was an enjoyable one. And I feel like for the most part, I am sort of like not withered away on like modern military, even though it's not modern military, and I love the weather effects they're doing and the sky suits, all looks cool. But at the same time, I feel like at this point in your life, especially when you've got a full-time job or whatever, and you've got one PS5 that only has a certain amount of space on it, you pick your shooter, you pick your few games, and you got us, you settle them and you start a family. And I've got 98 chickens with one game, and I'm playing a few others, and I just don't see myself going towards this one, because I will personally, like, when the next Battlefront comes out from EA, I'll be all over that, like Boss Nass, blah, 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 like that. I'll be getting in there.
When you say chickens, do you mean chicken dinners? Just to clarify.
Chicken dinners. Just sorry to everyone, that as I ramble through this.
Look at all chickens.
It's nice to see what they're doing with Battlefield, and that they're actually, you know, going in a certain direction and giving it a style. And like, I'm here for the weather stuff, because that dates back. I get a feeling of, you know, like the Command and Conquer, when you'd have the weather machines and fun stuff like that. Just do whatever you want with it, and just set it in these unique locations and do some more of the evolutions. But this is a long way of me saying I am not interested.
I see. The thing with me is I wonder how much they steer into the banter of it, because I feel like the big tornado thing reminded me of Just Cause 4, where that had like all the trailers were like, look how much carnage, look at these crazy weather effects. And obviously you have the increased processing power of the new systems, although it is cross-gen, but I imagine they'll, because they've already said like bigger player numbers, bigger matches for the current gen stuff, for the newer systems, maybe they can do more weather effects, more crazy stuff with that. I don't know if you guys have seen, there was a clip doing the rounds, might even just have been from last night, from, I think it was Battlefield 1, where some dude puts explosives underneath a tank, uses the explosives to blast up into midair, and then uses the tank to shoot a helicopter out the sky in one beautiful motion. And I kind of wonder how much that sort of thing is going to form the template of, like, Battlefield just becomes banter, because Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Black Ops is very tight, it's very, like, militaristic, and it's not realistic, but it is boots on the ground, and maybe they're just going to go, well, let's just do as much as we can chaotically.
I always remember back to like GTA 5 again, that's the mic at the beginning of this, was where you could pick up, use one of the helicopters to pick up a tank and fly around and shoot the tank in like multiplayer. Like, if you could do stuff like that, that'd be amazing, because at that point you're just sort of like teaming up in this studio, try the Transformers way. But
that's kind of what it feels like, the, because it would be like perfect, like GIF fodder, or like fodder. I guess we'll see. Mr. Roy, your first game was Back for Blood, which is pretty much just the return of Left 4 Dead, which I, for my sins, have never played Left 4 Dead. I played the demos, so it's not one for me. But you two, big fans.
Hundreds of hours, probably 1,000 between both the games, of just Left 4 Dead and just playing those games and endlessly just having fun shooting zombies, even though it's like the same, like, short levels, and like, you know, some have divergent paths. You know, oh, it's got divergent paths. This one on the way back, it's full of rain. It's so cool. But for the I just want co-ops, or, and I'm getting loads of them. Apparently, like, the video game gods have heard me. Gabe Newell's gone around
a four-player co-op.
Yeah, a four-player co-op fest against monsters, which is great. But Back 4 Blood, the Turtle Rock, they've left their sins behind with their past game. What is it called? Evolve?
Yeah, that was the one. Evolve was the last one.
And we're going back to basics, shooting zombies. They're going to have slightly different names. I'm going to still call them the same Left 4 Dead zombies, like the tank and stuff. And I can't wait. And I really want to know what Josh thinks about it, because I know he's also looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely, man. For the exact same reasons. You know, I was a huge, huge fan of Left 4 Dead back in the day, and I've just wanted this team to do something very similar. I've just wanted Left 4 Dead 3, to be honest, but Valve refuses to do that, so I will get it in this form. And if they can expand on what they brought to the table like a decade or, you know, 12 years ago, whenever it was that those games came out, and deliver something of the same ilk, I'm here for that kind of gameplay this year. I'm looking forward to this. And, you know, like you said, we've got a wealth of options. I'm also looking forward to the Evil Dead game for the same reason, but that obviously has a whole other element of yet to play players in this franchise. I just feel like, you know, I haven't played a really good one of these in a while. And I'm not saying there hasn't been a good one of these in a while. Obviously, there have been ones that people have, you know, attached themselves to and ones that have really resonated with other players. For me personally, I haven't found it. I haven't found a proper co-op, you know, game of this ilk since the original Left 4 Dead. And I'm hoping that this kind of finally fills that gap for me. If anyone does have any recommendations, though, I would like to hear them, because
I feel like Vermintide ticked the box a little bit. But Roy, what were you going to say? Sorry.
So the only one I can think of, like, that was his own standalone film was Vermintide. But then that little break-off mode in Rainbow Six was basically, here, this is Rainbow Six, but there's zombies. So it was that was like the spin-off Left 4 Dead mode. Now was like, oh, this is so good. And now they're making their own game out of it. We'll see how that goes, which I'm sort of like, looking forward to that, which is also another one on the pile. Then there's Aliens Fireteam, which I'm gonna buy because I'm silly and it's only £35 and why not. But yeah, like I can't think of the last time one of these games came out apart from the Vermintide.
Well, so I have a wider question for this, because obviously it's like, it's a veteran team. I'm going to call them a veteran team. Obviously they're known for Left 4 Dead so much, and now they're kind of returning to the IP that like made them, put them on the map, or put them on the map more than it did anything else that they've done. Do you guys think it just needs to be Left 4 Dead, like tick those boxes, play the nostalgia card, or do they try and do something? Do they try and advance something that they would have done for a Left 4 Dead 3 if they had that momentum back in the day? Like, what's the split between, like, you want to remember how things were, or do you want them to try and push things forward?
Oh yeah, I think, you know, you definitely want to try, you know, you don't just want Left 4 Dead, you know, as much as we, at least I can't speak for Ben Roy, but at least from my perspective, you know, I played Left 4 Dead, I played hours and hours of it, and yeah, I wanted more, but I also wanted an evolution. I don't just want to be served the same thing over and over again. I don't just want that exact template, because, you know, people have tried to mimic that exact template, or at least more or less, and those games haven't resonated with me. It's the fact that this kind of, it does in a lot of ways look like, you know, a step up. I think graphically it looks really good. I'm really interested in the card system that they've got in right now. I like the enemy types that they've got in there. I think I'm pretty sure there's I'm almost certain there's a PvP element to it. I'm interested to see how that works as well. So I want to see, you know, what they do with this format and what they add to it. That's the exciting thing for me about, if it is just Left 4 Dead, I'll enjoy it, but I want more.
One thing to just super quickly throw in is I'm glad it's not a Kickstarter, because for as much as I thought Bloodstained Ritual of the Night was like this solid sort of, you know, a Castlevania Symphony of the Night style, like channeling of that like IP and everything, it, like sometimes when you get Kickstarter projects, they just become so box ticky. Like, can be in a really beautiful way, can be in a super nostalgic, fun way, but because they're making it for that specific fandom that want a very specific thing, that is exactly what you get. And it's like, okay, cool, you made the thing again, and it's not really like, there's not much forward momentum there. So I'm glad that this is like a separate thing with separate funding, and they're able to hopefully like make it more unique.
I reckon for me, it just has to be basically more Left 4 Dead at this point. And then maybe a few extra maps. And like, say when you, this is a gripe though, but the PSP, the PvP version is like, when you die as an infected, you're sitting there and like, it's 12 seconds, but it feels like, you know, an eternity. Let me play as a little rubbish zombie or something, can just die in like a single hit. But again, this is coming on, like we got to mention, this is coming on Game Pass. So the money I was going to dump into it is now gone, because it's going to Game Pass, and I'm going to be one of those people that just jump on the DLC, because it's coming in with this package I've already got. So I just, for the most part, do what you can, make it as solid as you can, even if it's like four maps from now, and then let's look at the future of this down the hill. Like, I want them to be able to live with like the Bat for Blood or a variation of this sort of style.
You want like a Force Awakens. Yeah, you want something that nails everything.
And then, but hopefully then continues throughout the thing, and just the next few games afterwards don't disappoint.
This thing, like, I didn't actually realize it was coming to Game Pass. That feels like a massive like social movement in waiting. Like, a lot of people just
like Halo as well. Halo's multiplayer being free, like at the same time, it feels like it could be a little bad, but it almost feels like we win a lot because it's Halo multiplayer for free and everyone's got an Xbox. It's just gonna try it, I guess, unless they're just some of those people that would play like a FIFA and that's it.
Well, they rolled out the Xbox streaming thing on like PCs and tablets, and obviously you can do the wider xCloud stuff's been available for a while. But like, yeah, I guess that's their, Microsoft continue to make these plans for like global gaming domination of just sort of like, well, why not just try it? It's right there, just go on the thing, use it on your phone, hop on a PC, and the more access points they have with an IP like Halo, the more that stuff will probably come together faster. My next one is Metroid Dread, which I don't think either of you guys are big Metroid fans. I'm just throwing that out there.
I like Prime.
That's a thing. Okay. But, Josh, you've not played any of them yet.
I mean, I've played 10 minutes of Metroid 1.
Good.
Well, 20 minutes,
worst place
perhaps.
To start that in 2020 or 2021. But points for trying. Benroy, what were you going to say? Sorry.
Yeah, I like Prime, and I've played some. I've played one, and I've played the second one, the 2D ones. Not all the way through, but
neither of you played for Super me.
For me, Prime. No, I don't think so. I might have actually. The thing is, at the same time, it's so long ago. When I say the second one, it might have been that. It's been so long ago, for the most part, I just have memories of Prime because I know we had that on GameCube and. The GameCube was my sister's, but it's basically just my second console that I would just put out of a certain room and play that. Mm-hmm. And I liked it in a first person shooter sort of format. And I'm looking forward to Metroid Prime 4. I would like them to do, and I'm taking it away from the game that you're talking about. I would like to do that collection so I could play that. But also at the same time, Dread looks cool.
Dread looks ridiculously cool, but
I want to play it. But at the same time, I'm like, will the Nemesis style enemy thing work? And the same.
Right? Because that's the thing that I keep focusing on when it comes to Resident Evil. Like, another persistent enemy, and it's all right. I'll kite them out of their different room, and I'll make them get busy. And here's a distraction. I'll run back in. I'll pull the lever. I'm curious how they roll that stuff in, because Metroid is about, especially in the 2D ones, is about like methodical map scouring exploration, getting every single upgrade you can, finding all these different secret powers and stuff, and gradually upgrading across the entire game until you're able to just sort of take on this boss sequence of bosses across the game and at the end. And I wonder how much peppering multiple bosses throughout changes that entire flow, or gets in the way of you wanting to just explore, because it'll be like, well, I can't go that way because that creature is there, and that puts that like... It's a big risk, but apparently they did sketch out this Metroid Dread thing like 10 or 15, maybe even 20 years ago. And apparently they didn't think they had the technology to do it right, so it got shelved. Metroid Prime came in, they did all that stuff, and now they're going back to this. But it's been 19 years or something since there was a 2D Metroid. Like, there was a 2D one on 3DS, but that's about it. Like, Samus Returns is brilliant, but I'm curious how this stuff goes down. Do you guys see yourselves picking it up, or is Metroid one of those old school franchises where it's like, if I was going to start, I need to start like 30 years ago, so I'm just going to wait?
I'd never say never, you know. If it's getting good reviews and if people are loving it, of course I'm going to want to give it a go, you know. Like, hopefully, you know, if it resonates with people, I'll want to see what all the fuss is about, and I'll probably maybe get it for Christmas. I love me a Nintendo Switch game that I could just absolutely hammer out over the Christmas period, so that might be it. This is the thing, right?
You've
it's a franchise
it.
That I want to get into, and I want to do it like holistically. I don't just want to dip my toes in. If I'm doing it, I'm doing it properly. I'm playing it, not all of them, obviously. I'm not crazy. You don't have that amount of time, but I want to play, you know, the biggie. I want to play Super Metroid. Spat all over the screen there. I want to play Super Metroid. I want to play the Primes.
I was going to say, when you said that, I thought you meant you were determined to go back to the original 1986 or whatever it was and do it from there, which I was going to say, Lord, no, go Super Metroid. Anyone listening, go play Super Metroid. It's already on your Switch account. You've already got it. It's on your Switch.
Like, isn't that
thing.
Switch Online thing like a fiver for a year or something like that anyway? So I have it on the Switch, and I've jumped into some of them, but I don't remember which one because I'm so ignorant, I guess. And I'm probably not going to get Dread. I'm sorry.
This'll just be me arguing with you at the end of the year again. But it looks really good.
I respect it, and I hope Metroid sells this time because it's their least selling of their big...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're big franchises. So
that's the thing as well.
This can prove it.
Yeah, the sales figures like don't point to, if this was most,
and maybe
other
it might
companies.
Be a Christmas game as well, because I love me a Switch game of Christmas. And last year, I think for me and Josh, it was the Mario collection.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
This year, maybe our one Switch game this year will be that. Because I've retired Breath of the Wild, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was any other company, I don't think they would have put the money into just doing another 2D Metroid. Like, it is something that is very deliberately...
We've
like,
got Novania, so let's get some Metroid in there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm looking forward to it on that level. And Josh, your next one down is Sable, which there is a demo on the Xbox if anyone wants to try it, but that's like a very promising looking indie Breath of the Wild style exploration thing.
Definitely. There are a few indies I'm looking forward to this year, including 12 Minutes as well, but yes. I thought I'd throw this one on because even though this might not necessarily be a game that would catch my eye in previous years, it really has this year. It seems like it has all elements. It's like this open world, gorgeously animated, like just kind of like 2D, cel-shaded sort of aesthetic. It looks just completely beautiful to look at. It's an open world kind of like puzzle game. I don't think there's any combat at all. It's mostly on exploration, you know, talking to people and covering their stories, doing certain things. It's sort of hit all the notes for me because it looks gorgeous. I like the sound of like the gameplay, I like the sound of exploring this open world. And it's got a soundtrack by one of my favorite artists at the moment, Japanese Breakfast, who they've just released an album. It's really good, and they performed one of the songs, I think it was called Glider, at the Summer Games Fest when this game was showed off, and I was like, that's beautiful. It just has a kind of vibe and a kind of aesthetic, you know, across the board, from music to presentation to the actual gameplay, because there's no combat, that, you know, it's I want to sit down with it. I want to hopefully let it wash over me and have a good time with it, because it just seems like good vibes and something that I kind of I want to do well, and I might not have given the time of day otherwise, you know?
Okay, I think that, I think it looks, I looked super promising. The demo, I thought, like, it needs a little bit more to it, but obviously it just feels like it's quite early in development, like, in terms of, there's a lot of bugs, a lot of quest marker stuff that doesn't load properly, but the exploration side of it, just drinking in the visuals, that stuff's gorgeous, and the main part of gameplay when you're not running around or climbing stuff is hopping on this, like, jet engine-style, like floating bike thing, which looks a lot like Rey's sort of cycle that she has in Force Awakens. Force Awakens, two references Force Awakens in 2021, but... That whole thing, it's got a whole, you know, Rey on Jakku style vibe, like going to places, salvaging stuff, meeting people, just trying to survive.
Well, I think they've literally cited The Force Awakens as like a direct inspiration. So that, you know, obviously, you know, makes sense. I think I think they've name dropped like The Force Awakens. I think they've name dropped The Legend of Zelda and Breath of the Wild, because, you know, all of these games now, you know, take from Breath
You're
of the Wild.
Which, there's a stamina system. It's Breath of
which
the
is,
Wild.
It's fine for me because Breath of the Wild, I really love that. I can see Ben Roy shaking his head.
He
that might have
it.
Just single-handedly put him off it. But
he's running the other way now. Yeah, Ben Roy, have you seen any glimpses of this thing, and has it made you reverse park your Japanese breakfast?
I hadn't seen anything, so I was watching it as you two were talking, and I get a very, I don't know why I'm going to say this, a journeyish vibe from wandering around and doing some stuff, but this time you can talk to NPCs rather than chirp at other random lads going about. So if
not
I mean,
enough games that you chirp at random lads, to be fair.
If I could just chirp at some random lads, but with that art style, I'm in already, but by what I've seen there and watching and listening to the comparisons you're making, apart from the Breath of the Wild stuff, I'm actually more now intrigued, and it's actually on my list of I'm going to have a look at this.
I think the end of this podcast will result in a lot of, maybe I'll check that out. Style.
Well, for me, a reason why that I wouldn't get a Metroid at this point is because it'll probably be the Nintendo full price for the eternity of its existence, where I know Sable won't. But at the same time, when I saw Sable in the list, I was like, wait a minute, are we doing a list on wrestlers from the 90s? I'd always get confused. So
sadly not in 2021, but the time
the
might
game,
come.
It's coming out in September, I think. It's on Game Pass as well, I'm pretty sure. But it's Xbox exclusive, so I'm going to need to find an Xbox Series X within that time.
Or you dig out your Xbox that's there.
Now.
You've got
that
one
Xbox,
there.
I've given it, like, the last rites, man. Like, that's not coming back. That's in its tomb. It's not coming back out.
Floating off down the river in a really thin boat. Yeah, I mean, there's other things to play, I guess, if you ever did dig your Xbox out. Called Ori, but other than that, there's a lot of other things coming too. It'll be fine. In time.
Don't know what that is. Never heard of that.
Ori's all right, I guess.
Ori's all right with me. Mr. Roy, your next pick. You mentioned the Halo Infinite. Do you, anything else you want to quickly add on the Halo Infinite front? And then we've got a bit of the Deathloop.
I feel like I jumped into Halo a lot. So I think that's safe
Maybe
for
you
me.
Can be my Halo.
Will there be time for us to, I'm a bit like, my head's all over the place. Is there time for us to quickly mention Far Cry 6 or is that on my list?
Absolutely. Let's talk about Far Cry 6.
Because, I'm a fair weather Far Cry fan, right? I played the first one and beat the first one back on PC when I was a PC gamer during the war, one of them. And then I didn't play a single one until 5. And I played that cult with a friend.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I kind of like this like weird open world madness and just the feeling I get from like, say like what Ghost Recon Wildlands, where I fall out of a helicopter, I scramble into a truck, drive that off a hill and jump on a bike and keep going. And I want that again. And I wouldn't have been on it so much. But when I saw John Carlos Espinito in there being just Gus and being an amalgamation of all his villains, like, well, yes, I'm here.
That's a hell of a, that's like you went, like you disappeared from time for a bit and popped back in again. Because like Far Cry used to be a completely different thing when it was the, before Far Cry 3. And that's like, that's
it's
such
like a
an
crisis
interesting...
game.
Yeah. And like they had all the superpowers. There was all the survival instinct stuff and like the vision modes. And then 2 was like hyper realistic. I know, Josh, that's one of your favorites. And then 3, I would still totally say go pick up 3 if you want to like fill in the some of the gaming history stuff, just because Vaas is such a good villain. But Josh, what do you think as someone who I think like me has played all of them so far and then just kind of going like, yeah, there's a bit more, I guess, but now there's Gus.
Totally. I mean, you know, I'm actually quite weirdly a big Far Cry fan. Like you said, you know, I've played them all. And it's, I think I mentioned to you this, that doesn't make any sense. I think I talked to you earlier, Scott Tilton,
you said some
about
stuff.
This franchise, and I said that Far Cry is the Ubisoft franchise that I will play all of the main installments of, because, you know, it's the one that resonates with me the most. I really enjoy Assassin's Creed, but if I miss, you know, Odyssey or Origins, I can easily pick up Valhalla or whatever and not be worried about what I missed. With Far Cry, though, every single number title, I'm there for it, because it changes just enough. Like the core of it is very similar, but especially when we got to like 3 to 4, 4 for me was one of the worst ones because it was just so samey. 5,
it might as well have been a remaster.
I think they changed enough around
it's really
to keep
interesting.
It engaging. I thought that was pretty cool. And then 6, I feel like, you know, it's another kind of bit of a step forward. I don't think it looks like revolutionary, ironic because of the entire setup of the game. But I think, you know, it looks like it's just giving us Far Cry. And at the moment in time, that's all I need from this franchise. At some point, I do want it to go bigger and better, but they haven't disappointed me yet. I've always been, at the very least, pleasantly surprised. So until they deliver a proper stinker, I'm going to always buy them.
I was going to say, as someone who's not really touched them and just like watched people play, I've heard people say that the 4 is the best one. So I was quite surprised when you said that.
4 is like a polished 3. I mean, it's like, it feels like a lot of the same stuff.
No, I'm trying to attack anyone. I've heard
because it is an interesting thing. Cause like that came out in 2014, I want to say. And it was that sort of feeling of like, oh, they're just doing this again. It was one of the times where they like brought a sequel out like way quicker. And then it was so similar, but I was going to push back when Josh was saying it. I love the stuff that is set in the Himalayas itself. I think it's the Himalayas, is the mountain. Is it Kairat, the mountain region? And that whole thing where they started really playing into like the chaining stuff together thing. They had it in the early trailers, and where you're sort of jumping from one vehicle to another, you like kick a dude out the way, you like stay in the truck for a bit, you fire out the window, then you jump out and then you use the wingsuit and then you go somewhere else. And I feel like that sort of formed the basis of the thing that Benroy was describing that would then go on to become like, you know, it got bolted onto the Ubisoft formula, like Far Cry and Assassin's Creed established those formulas or that formula. Yeah. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed 4, but it was like a touch up of 3. But at the same time, I feel like 3 and 4 are almost the purest ones because, like in terms of the new formula, because for me, 5 didn't hook me at all. And there's all the DLC. There's obviously Blood Dragon. There's all the Mars stuff and everything. Primal was fine and stuff, but I feel like it can get a bit copy pasted.
I want some chaos and I want some decent acting. I feel like I'm going to get that, both of that from there. Mm. So that's kind of what I'm going for. And like, in was it 5, I could summon a bear to beat some guys up. So it's just do that, like that's, I'm here for it. Some mindless fun.
That was kind of because in Primal it was like, oh, you can just tame a saber-toothed tiger and ride that into battle and stuff. So it's like I feel like they've kind of embraced like some of the banter for it anyway. My last one was a very quick one. It's just Zelda Skyward Sword. I've actually never played Zelda Skyward Sword, which is in the timeline is the beginning of the timeline. which was just to be complete head effery. It's something that Nintendo did. It's the latest Zelda before they rebooted everything with Breath of the Wild, but it's set at the beginning of everything. It's the story of the Master Sword and Princess Zelda, and it's all that kind of thing. And I know that Skyward Sword is also held or stood on as the worst Zelda of them all because the motion controls were pretty terrible. I know a lot of the stuff with the progression was pretty bad. I just remember Rach saying that it was naff. And I remember that at the time when it came out, people just saying, like, this should be better. It's the Zelda IP. So I'm curious what they've done to it. I know that they've made it so you can play with buttons. You don't have to play with the motion controls. But they've mapped attacks to the right stick as like a kind of like a half, like a go-between. So you're sliding with different directions, kind of like the way you use the sword in Metal Gear Solid 2, which may be the only two games that have ever put a sword on the right stick. But I guess I'm there for it. And so I'm curious what that is. And just because it's, I want to say, oh, it's a new Zelda. It's absolutely not. But I'm just curious what they've done to it. And especially because it seems like Breath of the Wild is delayed until next year. So I'm curious what that's going to be. Benroy, do you see yourself remotely checking this thing out, being that you're maybe not the biggest Zelda fan?
No. I'll add some. I knew as someone who's played too much Metal Gear 2 this year, if they don't add an option...
You've had enough of my analog stick control schemes.
When you're tired, you don't want to do that. You just want to just press a button and just be over and done with it sometimes. You know what I mean? But I'm happy it's getting a resurrection, like bringing it back. Like, why not? I've heard that Majora's Mask is the worst one from other people as well. Like, this is just me hearing on the great fun.
Controversial, that.
Over the video not game effigy and everything like that. But long way about it, no.
Fair enough. Mr. Josh Brown, as someone who has dipped in and out of Zelda over the years, do you see yourself checking out this controversial installment?
Yes, I've been looking forward to any kind of remaster of these old games because I remember getting a Switch very naively, not researching about it beforehand, and saying to you, Scott Tilford, well, at the very least, I'll be able to play all of these old Nintendo games that I've never been able to play.
Who has that one?
Yeah, I never had a Nintendo growing up, so I missed out on a lot of stuff. And I was like, can't wait for this. And you said, no, Josh, the virtual console isn't on this. That's on the Wii U. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant. So I've been waiting 2 years for them to do something with these franchises.
They added some stuff on. And I came right to your doorstep. Knock, knock, knock. Josh Brown, Link to the Past is now available on the Nintendo Switch. Get off my porch, you said. 2 years past. He still never played it.
That's true. That is very true. But now I can play them both. And Skyward Sword is, I'm going into this with no baggage, with no kind of hints of its reputation outside of what I've heard, like, secondhand, not being in this kind of universe or whatever. So I'm going into it pretty much as fresh as I possibly can be. And that's definitely a Switch game that I'm going to buy this year because I want to do all the Zeldas at some point, whether I'm going to be forced to get the old machines or whether the rumors are true and they're going to, you know, remaster Wind Waker or
they should do something. Whatever the hell there is. 35th anniversary. You'd think they would.
If they brought Wind Waker on that, I'd play that because I've played Wind Waker. I play a lot of that. I've never finished a Zelda game. And some of the old Zelda 1 and 2 are on that Switch thing as well.
If you want a taste of it, the Zelda 1, 2 and Link to the Past are all on the Switch online service right now, but yeah, I'm curious how Skyward Sword holds up. Hopefully they've modernized it enough so it doesn't feel like some weird motion control adult thing, because that's still one of the most embarrassing E3 memories is
can I just say,
that work.
For anyone here, I don't hate Zelda, but I'm also more of a Mario kid, so don't worry, there's Nintendo love there. Anything Mario, just throw it in my face.
Put the pitchforks down. Put the N-shaped pitchforks down. Final game that we're going to talk about is Horizon Forbidden West, a game that, I don't know, I feel like I'm pretty psyched for it. I feel like the trailer that they put out, the gameplay that we watched that came out the other week, looked supremely promising. But Sony themselves are a bit back and forward on whether it's actually going to drop this year. Seems like it might get delayed until next year. Either of you, what's your general thoughts? Josh, this is one of your picks, so I guess we'll start with you. Where are you at on the old Horizon hype?
Yes, I want to see more because everything I've seen so far has got me very hyped, you know. Horizon Zero Dawn was like the first big kind of Sony new IP of the generation, you know. It pretty much established what those exclusives were going to be for the next 4 or 5 years. So I'm interested to see how they're going to expand upon that and make it bigger and allow this franchise to compete with things that perhaps did what that kind of ushered in, but a little bit better, like Spider-Man, like Ghost of Tsushima. You know, those titles that came right at the very tail end of the generation and perhaps benefited from a little bit more time, a little bit more, you know, influence, a little bit more understanding. understanding of the tech. And this being one of the first, you know, next-gen PS5 big sequels out of the gate, like, I'm just hoping that it lives up to what we saw at the last State of Play, because that gameplay trailer really sold me on it. I love the addition of the underwater areas. I like that added verticality and being able to, you know, fully explore and submerge yourself in that history. And ultimately, I just want to spend more time in this world, uncover more of its secrets, you know, see how the story progresses, and hopefully, you know, destroy a lot of big robot lads along the way. If it doesn't hit this year, like, I won't be too bothered.
You've all that Zelda to play and all that Metroid.
All that Metroid Dread to play. But if it does hit this year at the very end, I think, you know, for me personally, it'll hopefully be a very nice cap to a pretty good gaming-wise 2021.
I'm curious. I think, Ben, what were you saying? You're not as necessarily on the hype train as, like, because I'm not necessarily on the full-on hype train. I think it looks like I'm going to get it. I'm psyched for it. I want to see what happens with that story. But Zero Dawn wrapped so succinctly that I'm kind of just curious what threads you even pull on to do more with that world anyway. I guess the silent stuff, but yeah.
I'm here for it. I'm going to get it, like, day one. But I think I said before we came on air, like, I've had all my big hitters already this year, and I feel like I'm so exhausted after playing like Mass Effect and stuff, and just being like drawn into that. And there's no video game out there. Even like, I want to play Far Cry 6, and I'm interested in Dread, even though I might not get it straight away and things like that. There's nothing really that's hit me. And Back 4 Blood, it feels weird because Back 4 Blood's, I say, just a multiplayer game, but that's going to be a game that I play with friends as it is anyway, so that's going to exist in that space. It's nothing really that's hitting me, like, it's coming out. Like, I'm going to play it, and I'm going to platinum it because I'm a slave to that. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, fine. I feel like my video game year is done in a way. I know it feels depressing, but I know it's going to be there, and I know it's going to be great, and I'm going to really enjoy my time with it, but I'm not desperate. I'm not getting
it's a weird energy out. Because I think even underlying or underpinning everything is the reality that not everybody has PlayStation 5s or Series X's yet. Like, you see out of stock headlines every single day. And so I feel like it's a mix of, like, you know, new games that are coming, stuff that's becoming cross-platform, like God of War and Horizon. And then that sort of like push for, okay, but what can the generation actually do? And then
just fixated on Halo.
Well, yeah, there's Halo, but like, even Halo is like massively cross-platform, and it's like it was delayed a whole year, so it's like, okay, can it actually be good? I feel like we're sort of in a, most of this year is going to kind of feel like a holding pattern. But to run everything down, you know, Halo Infinite, Metroid Dread, Zelda Skyward Sword, Battlefield 2042, Sable, Horizon Forbidden West, Back 4 Blood, Aliens Fireteam Elite, and you mentioned, well, on this list we had Deathloop, but we ran out of time. So let's do some very, very quick thoughts on Deathloop. That game looks cool. Josh Brown, one sentence for the old Deathloop.
Really excited, forgot it was coming out. That's three sentences. I'm going to make it a fourth.
There were commas in those sentences. Ben Roy, quick thoughts on the old Deathloop.
Arcane, really good. Me, one. Goodbye.
For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Josh Brown.
Bye.
And Ben Roy Turner.
And don't forget, GTA 5 coming to PS5 this year.
Coming every month. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.